Hello, listeners. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And this is a Course of Course episode podcast.
In the year 2015.
I know. This is exciting. It's the first one of the year.
Happy New Year.
It's going to be a great year. I can tell you that already.
It's going to be far different than any year has ever been so far.
Wow.
With the course in our life.
I like how you're putting it. So I want to open this up really to talk about the new year and what we've done in the past week or so. Last time we podcasted, I had just come back from Cincinnati in my hometown. And I was talking about kind of the improvements I've made, I suppose. With my the relationship with my father, which is really great. And the past week, it's been really nice because although I've been at work for a few days, pretty much everybody's been taking the time off. And I know you also had some time off. So what did you do? How did you occupy your time?
Well, I actually had a couple of things going on. One, I was sick, which I don't get sick very often. And two, I had this agenda of getting stuff done. So I think last Sunday I was starting to feel it, but by Monday I was in a fog. I was talking to my mom and I said, you know, my sister was here and she was sick and I got sick, but I know at the level of the mind, I didn't really get sick because of her, that there's something else going on and that there's some kind of guilt or something, like something's off on my spirit side of my physical body is
right.
Manifesting this. And so I've been toying with it all week.
I think it's fascinating now that we're getting a little more deeper into the course, understanding the whole concept of sickness and what that really means. I remember Gary Renard had, do we say Gary Renard's name enough? I wonder in these podcasts, I don't know. But I remember when we were at a workshop a few weeks ago, when Gary had mentioned something about illness. And once you get to a certain point in your course kind of mastery, illness really doesn't take effect anymore. You kind of transcend it. I mean, he had a really good example. He said, well, you know, in his, I think the third book, Love Has Forgotten No One, he had said that, you know, Jesus didn't exactly have an easy road at the very end, mm-hmm. when we're talking about pain, and he didn't feel any of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think illness is an interesting kind of message or signpost to basically say, you know what? Okay, fair enough. I need to focus on my inner health first.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's a good opportunity for you to go, okay, maybe the ego is trying to kick up some dust here. Maybe I can focus someplace else.
The ego definitely, I think, had me, but it was a different feeling than it's ever been. I didn't cough all the time or have a fever or anything like that, but I definitely had congestion, so I wasn't able to think. My ears were full, my throat was scratchy, my eyes were watering. It was just irritating, but I still kept moving forward in everything I had to get done, and I kept doing my lessons, but it just felt kind of numb and black, and I just kept struggling with, you know, what is this all about?
We were talking off mic a little about how it's important to sort of stay above it all. The quote in the course is be passerby. And we're both experiencing this in our work life and certainly probably with our health issues, if we have any, just kind of staying above it and not getting too attached to it. I know I have people in my life who get sick pretty easily and then it becomes their whole experience. Oh, I'm so sick. You know, this kind of validation of how bad I feel, and they want everybody to like feel badly for them. It's that whole cycle that I think the ego kind of puts us through.
Yeah, they're definitely sickly people.
And I wonder what about that is so important to them that they want to remain in that state of sickness.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just the ego keeping them off.
I've basically either trained my ego or my ego trained me, which is more likely, mm-hmm. in this lifetime, especially in a work environment. We were talking off mic about this, that work tends to be the one where ego kind of rears its ugly head. And for me, it's this constant, you know, okay, how am I going to deal with this today? And that's why I'm so grateful for all the amazing course teachers out there, especially the well-known ones, because we're so attached to kind of the writings right now. And that's Gary Renard and Alex Marchand and dude, where's my Jesus fish? Michael
Lemieux.
Lemieux, exactly. I always think of Pepe Le Pew.
I know.
But he's not a skunk. I would really like to meet Mike Lemieux. So Mike, if you're ever listening to these,
especially
we're looking forward to meeting you.
In Oregon.
I appreciate his humor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we talked about this before. He's sort of walked some of the path that we have as well. So it'd be nice to be like, hey, are you know, fellow kindred seekers, I guess. So tell me about like 2015 in terms of what Stephanie would like to do in the coming year.
During my week of darkness, I guess I would call it, or numbness, I was thinking about, you know, I had to slow down and I cleaned up a lot of stuff. I feel like I was out of integrity in my life in certain areas and that I'm working quickly to get those back up to speed so that I can feel at peace with it.
When you say working out of integrity, do you mean like in a work environment, or where is this showing up for you?
In my house. That's okay. Why there was a pile of papers for the last year sitting on the floor. I've been doing a certificate program on top of my job. So I had tons of schoolwork and handouts and all kinds of stuff. So anyways, I had a sort through my life for the last year, which is always weird to go down memory lane. And then thinking about the future is that I feel like when the mail comes in, I need to open the mail. You know, when things happen, I need to kind of log it instead of pushing it aside and letting it build up.
That is a common theme. I'm like that too. But I can say, knowing you as long as I have, you're a very organized person in general. I would never call you a hoarder, but I think you do have a lot of paper that you like to file. And I find that fascinating.
Well, I might need the Spanish garden manual handout.
Of course you might.
Something. I'm very prepared. Let's put it that way. In fact, I went through all my earthquake food. I put it by year so I could kind of get a sense of how many things are expiring in 2017, how many things are expiring in 2016, how many things are old. Like, I completely redid everything in my place, which gives me some peace, which I feel I really needed because I felt like I was out of control.
I think it's fascinating when we look at our living situations. I'm like that too. I feel like in times where I am a little chaotic in my life, that I all of a sudden get very, very neat. Like, everything has to be in a certain order. Mm-hmm. In my car, in my home, whatever. But I don't necessarily feel that at work. And maybe that's why it can be at times chaotic.
Maybe so.
Right. Part of it is I don't feel like I have as much control at work, but I have absolute ultimate control of my home life and my car and things like that.
Well, I also got approached by a recruiter, and it made me have to think about, oh, do I want to go work for a different company? Do I want to move? Do I want to lose my garden place? Like, all these things were coming up for me as well. And kind of then appreciating what I do have and saying, you know what? I really do like my situation right now. I don't need to change it.
I think it's great. There are times when we have this path of ours and we come to a crossroads, right? So your crossroad in this one was a recruiter reached out and it's like, wait a minute, let me think about this. Mm-hmm. We tend to get so interested in what we're doing and we've got to get this done and moving down this path. And it's nice to have these kind of moments where we're like, okay, let me reflect. What do I really want in this situation?
And I want peace. More than anything, I just want peace. And I feel like slowing down is a part of it.
Hallelujah. I agree.
And not doing so many things. Like, I have enough going on. I don't need to help more people, or not to sound mean or anything, but lots of people are constantly asking.
You do have quite a few people who kind of are requiring your time.
Now that I also see this over my lifetime, that's all I've done. Mm-hmm. My ego has kept me tied up being of service and working.
But I think you're going to also kind of transcend even in that space, right?
I am right now.
Absolutely.
Like, I've had it.
Yeah. To me, I see the evolution of Stephanie is really becoming more pronounced as we listen to these podcasts. I think you are really walking this talk. I think you're dedicated to this.
I am trying. Mm-hmm. I am sincerely looking within and studying the words and trying to take the information in from different sources. Like you said, you know, different books are great, but I just got into the Gary podcast since you've been asking me to listen to them. So yesterday I just powered out through episodes 5 through 10, and on episode 8, him and what's the gentleman's name? Gene Bogart. They were speaking about forgiveness.
And he's the voice of Orton on the Disappearance of the Universe audiobook.
Yes. Yeah. I love that they have these podcasts. There's some really juicy information in there from Gary when he was talking about visiting the Indians. In St. Louis.
Chakotay or something. I have no idea. We should probably go look that up.
But he was saying, you know, it's like he tried to move and go against the grain and take a different action at that location. It's like he just couldn't do it.
The movie's already been filmed. We're just projecting it out.
It's all scripted.
Right. Yeah.
So this, every freaking thing in our entire life is scripted.
And the only choice we have is forgiveness. And it's through forgiveness that we can change some of these time vectors that will allow us to wake up from the dream and reach back to God quicker.
That's what I feel like this last week has been, is that it wasn't a bad darkness or a deep sickness, but it definitely was something different. Mm-hmm. And I do, today is the first day I woke up with a little bit more clear mind and feel like, my spirit is back and the light is out. And that's my focus for 2015. Is spirit.
No, I agree. Me too. I think for me, more than you actually, is to remain focused, even when I'm in a situation that is not focused, that is chaotic, and that's kind of like my workspace. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy, I think, to forget about the core stuff and get kind of swept away in that kind of chaotic energy, remembering that this is just a dream. Don't get too attached. Be passerby. Do what you need to do to transcend it.
That takes a lot of detachment.
It does.
I mean, that's a skill.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm just barely kind of tentatively walking that path. And I think it also harkens to how some of these amazing people have been on this path for a very long time. We've mm-hmm. spent, I mean, for us, we've spent many, many decades being a certain way and our ego kind of being in control of us. So behavior patterns are hard to break. The only way to do it is to create a new behavior pattern. Well, it takes a while. It really does. And if you've been doing the same thing, if you've been drinking orange juice every morning for 40, 50 years, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you're not drinking orange juice anymore, it's like, whoa, what's this all about, right? So it's being patient and gentle with ourselves. Mm-hmm. But also, as the Course says over and over again, vigilance is mm-hmm. very important.
Yeah, because it's easy to get sideswiped by the ego at every moment. I was sitting reading the lesson, or I'll be even in the meditation and the ego's chirping in.
Absolutely.
Like all the time. Right. Oh, I wonder about this and I wonder about that. And then I like drift back to the words and I have to reread the words.
And for the listeners out there, how often do you meditate?
Usually in the morning and at night.
So you do. So you yeah. do have a practice. I will admit that I do it when I can, but my ego is still pretty strong. So I will go ahead and meditate. I have a little application on my iPhone that I use. It's called Insight Meditation, which is really helpful, but it doesn't shut down my mind. So I'll be meditating and all of a sudden stuff starts coming in and, you know, I'll be thinking about work for a couple minutes and I have to be like, oh no, let's come back.
Is that a timer or is it a voice or a song?
So it's a guided meditation okay. and they are timed.
Because Insight's been around for a long time. I've been to meditation retreats with them.
Yeah, Insight is a really great application for you listeners out there if you want to download it. Okay. So I think there's like 70 or 80 meditations you can choose from at different, some of them are like 5 minutes, some of them are 20.
Okay.
I try to do it in the morning, so I don't have a whole lot of time to devote to it. Mm-hmm. One of the things I read, and I can't remember which book I read this in, is it's probably a good idea to wake up and spend a little bit of time meditating. For me, that's great on paper, but I just end up falling back to sleep. So I have to wake up and do my stuff,
yeah.
get some breakfast, then sit there and meditate. Otherwise, I'm back to sleep. I'm just not strong enough on the meditation side yet. I'm trying to get there.
Well, getting out of bed helps, and for me, getting into a chair.
For me, I have to maybe have some coffee or some breakfast to kind of really get myself yeah. and my system awake.
If only we didn't have to go to work.
Ah!
God, how sweet life would be.
You know, I was talking to my sister about this, that, you know, this mad, crazy planet that we're living in. It's amazing that, you know, for you listeners that are listening to us in different countries, I'm sure there's many. We have a huge global reach.
Right.
Here in the United States, I mean, it's very much kind of a work culture. And we go to work to make money so we can afford to live in Los Angeles and drive nice cars and all that kind of stuff. It's not that easy because we still have to go to work every morning. Thing is, I'm very grateful and I'm becoming far more grateful now for the job that I do have. And I can't say that I've always felt that way.
That's a miracle.
It is a bit of a miracle, I will say. But that doesn't mean that I wake up in the morning going, yes, I get to go to work today, right? Especially on a Monday morning.
Sure.
I mean, you know, because you're like, oh, come on. The nice thing about our work environments is we do, because we're human beings, we create relationships and friendships and connections. So it's nice to go into work and be like, hey, Bob, how you doing? You know? So it's good in that aspect. I think for me, the part that makes me a little unhappy is just dealing with the ego and the illusion of, you know, there's a boss and, you know, their boss and their needs and all that kind of stuff.
I feel like there's so much going on that I'm exhausted.
Yeah, me
like,
too.
It's just mentally exhausting. And I wish that it didn't have to be that way, that I could be a chef and be making pastries or, you know, something that's lovely and fun. And
so I've thought many times about what I would do if I were given the opportunity. Here, Janine, here's a magic wand. How would your work life look? Mm-hmm. And my answer is,
if you could do anything you wanted.
Anything I wanted.
Uh-huh.
It would be sitting on my couch in my very big but very comfortable sweatpants, watching TV and not worrying about money. Then I would figure out ways to kind of enjoy my day. That's what I'd like to choose.
Maybe get a facial.
I mean, I really...
Grab some lunch.
Yeah, ultimately, I would like, you know, my illusory world here on Crazy Planet to be as lovely as possible. I don't necessarily want to be working, you know, in a job I don't like just because I'm getting a lot of money. And I like the idea of doing what I love, but I don't like the idea of having to do it because I have to pay the mortgage,
right,
pay the car, that kind of stuff.
Yes. I feel... I'm thinking back to that book about time and how valuable our time is, and mm-hmm. how a lot of people were outsourcing for a while to mm-hmm. people in India of all crazy things to do their, organize their events and whatever. Time is everything. And I feel like I don't want to give any more time to my job than I need to do. And I don't want to give my time to any other kinds of outside jobs that I could take on. I just kind of want to be guided from spirit first and then decide what to do in the world.
I agree.
Instead of the world always coming at me. That's the thing. The world is constantly moving, whether it's an email alert that pops up,
yep,
or someone's phone. Like, it's just so much stimuli, and I find it to be very exhausting.
The dichotomy here is time is a precious and finite commodity on Crazy Planet. But the reality is time doesn't exist,
right,
and it's an infinite capacity with God.
Is it your understanding that in any lifetime that we have the capacity? I mean, clearly, if we were like some starving person in India, that probably wouldn't be the appropriate lifetime, but that we can actually wake up, that we can forgive everything that's coming at us in our face at every moment, somehow build that muscle. I just want to rise above it, like they talk about, rise above the battlefield and just,
yep,
somehow create my experience versus being the cause instead of the effect.
Exactly. I think when we're in a work environment, it just seems completely impractical, not possible to just be like, I love everybody. All right. Now we have 20 people in this room. I love all of you. You know, I mean, it sounds great on paper, but you're still dealing with ego in a third dimension kind of crazy planet perspective. So it's like living in two different worlds at the same time, being able to interact with people who are still stuck in the dream and then being able to transcend it at the same time. It's tricky. But I think the concept of time blows me away. It's always blown me away because it feels so real. We have alarm clocks that go off and we have to be in a meeting at a certain time.
Being here makes it real.
The body being here and the body aging clearly kind of implies time has passed, et cetera, et cetera. So it takes a lot of mental gymnastics. We've talked about this in the past, that it's not easy to explain time to those who are not really outside of this comprehension of the course and more kind of like New Age as well. How do you really explain that? Because when you're dealing with my significant other is very science-based. He's all about science. Well, that's a fact. It's hard for me because like facts don't exist. The only fact is that God is waiting for us to wake up. That's it.
Yes. I don't know if it was in Gary's podcast or whatnot, but the whole idea of the God is extended. We're all the bits of the God. Like, we are God. This whole experience is God. We never left heaven. We're still in heaven. Whole thing, it just feels so separate from me. And I realize that that's what the ego wants us to feel.
Right.
But being in this dualistic place where I see the chairs and the cat and the...
Right.
And the flowers, I mean, that's just all we've ever known.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like it exists and doesn't exist at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole Schrodinger's cat thing. Do you remember Schrodinger's cat?
Kind of.
It's the concept of a cat being both alive and dead at the same moment. So it's like this weird dichotomy. And that's what I really like about quantum physics. Schrodinger's cat really came out of quantum mechanics, quantum physics.
It was in one of those books recently.
Yes.
But say, keep going.
Schrodinger's cat was also a topic of conversation in the Big Bang Theory, if anybody watches that show.
Oh.
Yeah.
I love Big Bang, but yeah. I've never watched the show.
Everything about duality. Black and white, life and death. It's all kind of this, we talked about it last, I think it was last podcast or maybe two back, that there's nothing holy about duality.
That's for sure.
There just isn't.
It sucks.
Right. It's holism is where it's at.
Yes. Right?
So all this yin yang stuff, fascinating, I guess, but isn't real.
Right.
And I think science is very much into that black and white, fact, non-fact. Anybody who's gone through academia, as I have and you have, there are very specific, well, this is how it works. Okay, psychology, this is somebody who is manic depressive. This is somebody who's whatever. Bigger picture, they're not, right? So mm-hmm. It's just we as human beings in our ego like to categorize things and put things in pigeonholes. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, okay, now that I understand that, I'll just move on. Mm-hmm. No, it's the trickster of our ego doing that to us.
Yeah, reading the course this week, it's become again clear to me just how magnificent and detailed this is in the psychology of the mind, channeled through a psychiatrist.
Right.
You know, and just the way it was written, I'm still grasping it.
Me too, actually. You know? I just feel like I'm such a child in learning this stuff. You know, and there are people like Gary and those guys who are, you know, college professors at it. And I'm just like in the 101 class of it. But we're just going to keep churning it, man. We're going to figure this out. We're going to keep working on it.
We are determined.
I just feel like if there's anything that's a commitment in my life, it's this.
Yes.
A commitment to anything else, I don't really see it. I mean, I always say, especially at the beginning of the year, we all do this. Well, you know, it's January. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to be more active. I'm going to be more healthy. And we do that, I think. For a period of time. I'm not going to speak for everyone. I'll speak for me. But then I just kind of lose steam, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not losing steam with this. To me, this is the only thing that matters in my life. You had mentioned this prior to these podcasts, too. I can't imagine anything more important right now or ever. And it does make it sound like we're a little nuts, but whatever.
I don't even care anymore. Maybe we are,
you know?
I just want to live simply and keep connected to source.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Live simply. So we had talked previously about not really wanting to spend money and kind of really getting to the place of what is real for us, what makes sense for us. I got stuck for a while in this ego concept of, oh, I need more shoes or I need more right clothing for work so I can look all cute and stuff. Now I could care less. I was shopping today. I was like, I don't need any of this. And I walked out of the store and I never would have been like that before.
That is fantastic.
It's huge for me.
It is good.
But I can't say that for food. So I was like, forget that. I'll just go eat. But whatever.
Well, we need food.
We need food.
But we can only fit so many shoes in the closet. I hate shopping. I was thinking about that earlier today. I dread it so much.
But we've certainly done enough in our life.
Yeah.
You and I have gone to shoe stores many, many times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, I organized those over Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so I was
and
doing
I
that
wear
too.
Maybe three pairs.
Exactly. And then I'm like, well, I can't throw these away. I might wear them. And some of these shoes I haven't worn in like 10 years. So just let it go.
It's the things.
Mm-hmm.
The ego, whole system of...
To me, it's like one of the steps I'm taking to like break free of it. It's like, I don't need this anymore. I don't need people to say, oh, wow, look at that nice dress Janine's wearing today. I don't care anymore.
That's great. That's very freeing.
I just want to make sure it's clean and doesn't smell.
That's good.
My bar is lowered significantly, I think.
I just want to clean up some loose ends this year and just nail it. Show up and do everything as best as I can.
So I talked to you about joining the Disappearance of the Universe Yahoo discussion group.
Oh, yeah, say more.
So I've only been on that for maybe 4 days, 5 days, but it's been really great. I mean, there's like thousands and thousands of people on this thing.
How does it work? Is someone a manager and do they post something every
day? Yeah, there's
a
moderator, but anyone can jump in to conversations or generate a conversation. Mm. And they do take snippets of either the workbook or the course and they talk a little more about it. And they discuss, well, this is what the course said and this is what they really are meaning when we're talking about the exercise relating to that particular lesson in the course, which I really appreciate. To me, it's giving me even more kind of background on this stuff.
Sure.
Because we can only read so many books, you know, before we really need to get a little more information. I feel like I've read the Gary Renard books so many times now. I do keep getting gems out of them, but you get to a point where you do want to have additional information.
Yeah, I feel the podcasts have jumped in for me right now.
I love but you've having already done the podcast. That's right. I've listened to all currently 53 podcasts for Gary Renard in ours, and I keep trying to download even more just to hear what other people are saying about the course, just because we're all, I don't want to say struggling because it seems like a negative connotation, but I think we're all learning on our journey. Yeah, we're working it out.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised happily by the international
response. Oh, me too.
Response. It's like, thank goodness.
I think no matter where we are in this crazy planet of ours, we're human beings are the same. We're just part of God that happens to be experiencing a lifetime maybe in China or India or whatever. We're all the same. I mean, it's not like we're probably, we are living concurrent lifetimes in many of these places anyway, and probably another planet. So it's like this whole thing that's going on, like there's this part of me that would love to find out where the control room is. You know what I mean? To see like everything that's going on, like who's playing at all this? It's pretty amazing. This elaborate dream that we're all dreaming.
And that's what we have to forgive.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The whole bloody thing.
So any closing thoughts for you, Stephanie, on the first podcast for 2015?
I'm excited to see how this year unfolds.
So am I. And I love the fact that for you listeners, you can kind of listen in on how we're doing this year. And hopefully you may get something out of that. But we are so looking forward to questions from you. So please, if you get a chance, go to thecourseofcourse.com or thecourseofcourseblogspot.com and give us some questions. We will make sure that we will answer them as soon as we can. Thank you very much, everyone. We appreciate it. We will be back for the Course of Course podcast next week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.